Good morning, Kirit, and welcome to our studio. It's a really pleasure to have you here, since hot topic in this week and last week it's weather. Monsoon is here, it's not here. You were just telling me that actually that's not monsoon, but that was a cyclone, actually two cyclones, correct?
Right.
And you are passionate about water conservation in Oregon.
Yeah, it happened to be so. In Holland, I never liked the rain so much. Mm. Of course, as a gardener, you need rain. But here, as it is always beautiful weather and you rely so much on the water, it's extremely important.
And as far as I know, actually, one of the first really physical works around here was to do the first dams to prevent the water to go in the ocean.
Yeah, of course, Orevillians, since the beginning, they have been working on dams, abunding, and they did all the work. But there were big parts of the canyon still to be done. So when I came finally after so many years, I came in 72 first and been coming and going. I settled down in 96. And in 97, we had a good monsoon like 3 years ago. And then I saw the water running from the plateau into the sea, and the sea was bleeding. Yeah, it was red of the red soil, so a lot of erosion. And while living in utility in 76 for some time, I used to walk through that canyon, and it flashed me there should be a dam here. So I went to look if that dam was there. It wasn't. But upstream, I found many small dams made by the government, which were not in a good shape.
Similar like the women were doing by the road a few years back, right?
These were all from granite and concrete.
Oh.
Yes.
And solid ones.
So they were made by the government. And it happened that Michael Mason, he was repairing in the Greenbelt a check dam. And I liked what he was doing, so I started helping him. And then somehow I continued.
Until now?
Until now. Already for many years I think, oh, it's done. But now I don't work so much on Perrenbourg land. Like the Kenyans, they're all Perrenbourg, government land. But I get invitations from stewards in Oroville, like Nine Palms, Hermitage, Southern Forest. And
you were also really beneficial or active in international zone to do the bounding and deepening the ponds.
Yeah,
I wanted to prevent the water to go to Irumbay.
Yeah, for a long time I wanted to work, many years ago, that's now maybe 16 years ago, I wanted to do some work there. But that time I didn't get the permission. And maybe 5-6 years ago I was invited to do 1 week's work. But then many of the people living there, like Tibetan Pavilion, Bharat Nivas, they said, can you do this? Can you do that? So it became 3 works. Then you observe what the rains are doing in the monsoon. And yeah, it has been ongoing since.
How is today's situation? I mean, the climate is changing, yeah? We had, as you said, 2 cyclones coming our way, then shifting somewhere else. But how do you see that change in Oregon? Because you've been here when the weather was kind of predictable. Monsoon will come 15th of October, it will end on 5th of December. I mean, those past few years, it's going really erratical, too extreme in either flooding or drought, yeah?
Yeah, and that will happen more and more. 3 years ago, fortunately, we had a very good monsoon. And I measured the rainwater level in Kaya's garden. When I made the borewell about 16 years ago, it was 28 meters. Then it goes deeper to 30 and more. Then it came up 5 meters. It was 24.5 meters that time. Now it's around 30. Then the year after, we had a very bad monsoon.
There was no rain.
Hardly. Like last year was okay, but still you were hoping a bit more. And yeah, you sit with your fingers crossed what will happen this year. This was pre-monsoon, actually. And the year was bad so far, but September and October rain makes it a bit promising that it might be a good year in the end, hopefully.
Let's hope. Why is it so important to do bounding?
Bounding on the land. Yeah, because you have big stretches of land, and if you want to keep the land wet and you want to not run it off, then the first thing you do is upstream the bounding. And that was what the first greenbelters and up till now understood very well. And they even were doing it on village land that time. Mm-hmm. The only problem is if you have really torrential rain and you don't check the buns and cows go over it, they erode quickly and then they break. And then when the water keeps on flowing because of torrential rains, it all ends up in the canyons. Mm.
But it's also the land itself which we are on.
The red soil is very... permeable, percolates very fast. But like in the international zone, these two you see, they have a layer of Manivelli clay under it, which doesn't percolate. But if you go now and you go after an international house, you can see already that the water went down quite far. And often when you make a dam, in the beginning the water stands, but in the years the percolation goes better. But it is important to clean your water bodies regularly. Otherwise, it silts in with soil, plants start growing, leaves come in,
mosquito menens,
and the percolation. If you have a volume like this and it fills up, you have less volume. And also, the percolation goes not so good and slower. Yeah, it's better to keep water bodies open and clean. You have less mosquitoes and less problems.
Do you have any idea how many dams we have in Oruro?
I've been working on hundreds.
On hundreds.
And then I don't mean the concrete and the granite only, but also, of course, the earth dams. So, yeah, each steward in the green belt will have his own buns and ponds and... And also small dams, but I have no idea.
These small dams are basically like bonds, just with the soil, yeah?
Yeah.
And you hope it's not going to erode, yeah?
Like in the international zone, there were also bonds already for many years. Eh? So when I started, I was just repairing them. But as it is so difficult to go in for the rain in the aquifer, often it goes in, then there is a hard layer and it bounces off and it comes up again. And you see natural springs or seeping through. So I made these buns much higher than they normally do on Oroville land, where you have the red laterite soil. Because laterite soil percolates very fast.
It percolates fast?
Very fast. Like in the Utility Canyon, we had about 100 millimeters of rain. Well, in the old days, these dams were full and overflowing. Now hardly you find it back the next morning, because already gone.
That's interesting, because I thought laterite is a clay, no?
It's not really a clay. It has another substance. But of course, when it is wet, it is sticky, so you might get the impression. But it's not a clay. And in the international zone, this white soil is also not really clay, but difficult to percolate. But there under, there is this Manivelli clay, which has a real clay substance where you can do some pottery with.
Yeah, but that one also keep the water for the area, no?
If
it's under.
Yeah, and that continues up to the way to Sadhana Forest, Hermitage. There's all more or less the same clay structure. And that is sometimes difficult when you make a big bund and you have this white soil and the rain comes, it easily goes off. So I'm always hopeful I can find some laterite soil and put on top as a cover. Because that becomes then harder and erodes less. The best is, of course, it should be grown with vegetation. So roots of grass and other plants hold it.
So those bunds, see in the international zone, some old bunds, they are all grown with the trees. That is probably the best, right? Or not?
Not always, because trees can break and then it uprooted it. So in general, grasses I like best.
Okay. So actually, how does it look when somebody call you, can you do bonding for us? How do you do it?
I go and have a look. I go and have a look, and if it is worthwhile, if I think it makes sense. And in general, it does. So then I rent a JCB. I had often my own operator. And that is good, because to get a JCB nowadays is very easy. But to get a good operator is not so easy. On the top, I don't speak so much Tamil, just some words.
So the communication is...
And this man who has been working for me for years, I can think it, and he knows what to do. and I can leave him alone.
Mm.
Yeah? Now, this year I couldn't get him. I had him in January.
Mm.
I had to let him go because he got a very good project in Pondicherry, which was financially good for him, and he has his own JCB. So then Jyoti Prasad from Oromira, he bought a JCB, so I used him. And the operator was okay. The nice thing is I worked for a long time this year in Nine Palms, and then Ananda, one of the stewards, and Shivaji, they know well what they want, so that makes it for me much easier.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Hermitage in Sadhana Forest, I had to be there from early morning till the end of the day to watch what was going on and to guide the JCB. That was not needed now. That's only in the international zone because there is no steward who can take it over from me.
Certain parts there.
Yes, but in general, then that the people don't know what to do and how to do, so then I have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But these green belters, yeah, they grew up with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They know what to do, and they know what they want.
And and we discuss, and that facilitates a lot.
That's really cool. Apart from you, who else is actively working on water conservation in that way?
Well, I think every steward in the Greenbelt is doing his own job. Jaap, he was one of my guides in the beginning, together with Michael. And yeah, I think each Greenbelter should have his homework done before the monsoon. And that's not only tree planting, but also repairing the bunds and so on.
Yeah.
It is very important that you have some bigger pits where the water really can percolate to the aquifer. Because bunding is nice, but unless you get enough rain, it might not always reach the aquifer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is deep, and in the center of Oroville, the aquifer is very deep. They talk nowadays about hundreds of meters.
Which aquifer, by the Elephant Tower?
I don't know exactly one, but I heard in Sharanga, for instance, it is more than 100 meters. Also in Discipline, it is, but I don't know exactly the figures.
Mm-hmm.
I only know Gaia's Garden, but I know the center, it is much deeper. And these are two different aquifers. Yeah? Here we have the Vanur aquifer in Gaia's Garden, and that area is the Cuddalore aquifer.
Yeah, it's also the quality of the water is different.
Yeah.
As far as I know.
Yeah, our quality is still very good.
I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, we're lucky.
No. So, okay, that is the reason that by the road we see some holes in the each side to keep the water for the to percolate to the aquifers.
Yeah, and it is, of course, also to keep the road free of water. So for the traffic to pass by, it serves two purposes.
But on a, let's say, community level, is apart from the water group, is anybody in charge of those things? I mean, somebody does overlook those things, or the water group call you, we want something to be done?
The water group has, of course, the concern about it, so they have their policy, but it is like Tom, who is part of the water group, who asked me now to do certain work somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's fine, but you have to first work it out with Lavanier, because the time is over that I can just dig a hole wherever I think it is suitable.
Oh.
It should be in the concept of Lavanier or the steward or the area.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I asked him, please do your homework, talk with Lavanier and see if it is suitable in the plan, and then we can go to the place, and then I can put it on my agenda for next year.
Yeah, for the center, you're supposed not to dig wherever you feel like, because there are quite a lot of infrastructure.
Of course,
in.
Of course. And it is waste of energy and money.
Mm-hmm.
So if they plan something and somebody asks me to do something, it happened in the past, can you make one here? A few days later, it was filled up by road service because they said there will be a road there. Well, the road is still not there, so I felt that is not...
It's a waste of work. Yeah,
that's a waste. And you see a few small ponds, you can always change to another location if need be. But better do it then, when the road is clear.
But the city is growing and it's also getting more and more structures. It's also becoming...
Yeah, so it should be all integrated with each other.
But in general, there's not one body to look after that. apart from the water group, you know, like to plan all those things.
No.
So it still goes like, if I want it, I can call you and then I check you can dig and that's it.
Yes, that's how it works up till now.
Okay.
I was really hoping, like in the international zone, that there will be a steward for the whole area who will look after it and say that in future, or road service or whoever has a JCB like Jyoti Prasad, please come and do that work. Yeah. Because my time is limited. I'm 68 now and I can still do it. But in the end, I hope, like in Holland, if I have a ditch, I have to clean it twice a year on my side. I have to take out the water plants, the mud, and really keep it clean, because we have a very intricate and complicated system in Holland, which is important that all the ditches are very clean.
Yeah,
so if I don't do it, they give me first a warning. If I still don't do it, they will do it and they send me the bill.
Makes sense. I mean, yes.
Yeah.
If you were all maintaining and keep them clean.
Because when there is too much rain, it has to be pumped out. But when it is a drought, like this summer in Europe and in Holland, they let water in. First they let water in from the IJsselmeer, a big lake in the center of Holland. If there is not enough, they let seawater in that lake. So seawater get diluted. But still, the level has to be always maintained. And I grew up with that, so I know that, but not the mountain people don't know that.
You have awareness how it should be maintained and what is the purpose and why you need the ditch and why you need the bonds. Yeah,
exactly.
In this aspect, do you think the Matri Mandir Lake, it could improve the conservation of the water with the ditches to the communities or the channels?
I think it makes sense if all the buildings which are coming, and they collect the rainwater, and that is put in a reservoir to percolate. The Matri Mandir has, of course, still now I am a bit doubtful about it, because we need a desalination plant, which will be very costly. And on top of it, the desalination plant to put water in the lake might not be so good idea if we have water problems. Then it's better to pump the water directly in the water system of Oroville and fill the. Then also the problem is with a desalination plant is that, like there was an article of a desalination plant. Of course, that is a huge one near Chennai, I think. And then the fishermen, they're complaining too much salt is put in the sea. So these are a lot of problems which has to be solved and overcome. Yeah, it would be very nice to have a lake, but if it is feasible, I am not so sure yet. I love water, so a lake would be nice. Be actually the rainwater who feeds it. And that means you will have different levels, of course.
In Gaia Gardens, do you already preserve the rainwater?
Yeah, this is the first thing I built. I built a rainwater tank before the buildings were there. So at first I made a water tank of 4x4x4, 64 cubic meters, which I enlarged up till 100 cubic meters. And that is the first water I pump out. Like the roof catches it, it goes in the end channel. The end channel have an overflow and it goes in the underground cistern. And that's then the first water we pump out for the garden.
Apart from yours, do you know anybody else who already got?
They tried it in Luminosity, but then there was a leakage in the tank. So, and it is very costly. I remember in the beginning years when I started, I went often to what is now called Lavanier. That time it was the construction group or something, development group. Then I thought, if you make a building, a certain percentage should be for rainwater harvesting. Actually, it is a law in Tamil Nadu that each house actually catches its rainwater and let it percolate. It doesn't mean to have an underground tank, but that Jayalalitha made once. But
how do they do that? With the inner courtyard?
Yeah, you see, it is not. There are enough laws in India, but they're not always implemented. So If you speak about it, and I think Kiran Bedi, the governor of Pondicherry, recently she mentioned it. She's very much an advocate of rainwater harvesting and do it proper. So.
Yeah, well, it makes sense, because if when it's in monsoon, when it's raining, it's coming down in huge quantities.
Yeah, and you don't want to let it go in the sea. That's a waste.
Definitely.
Yeah, you want to keep it.
If you look back and now, I mean, regard apart from the water, do you see the Oroville in the right path?
The water-wise.
Anyhow.
Water-wise, I think it's okay. Yeah. I am not so much involved in groups and politics and all these things. I am. Stay out of it. If I go to a meeting, it's in general involved with water. Mm-hmm. I don't know. For me, Oroville is still an experiment and a grow of consciousness from each of us. And I think that is the most important thing. And that is very difficult to judge now. You can see sometimes, and I also don't go there. I put my report on the internet, Oroville internet, but I don't read all this because often that can be depressive. I know many nice people in Oroville, friendly, good people, and in that way I'm happy to be here. This is my home, and I hope for the best for the future.
What brought you here? Because you started coming almost in the beginning.
I was already very young interested in yoga. I was practicing Hatha Yoga since I was 18, I think. So I wanted to travel. I didn't know what to become. Yeah. Of course, I became a teacher because my mother didn't want to let me go when I was 17, so I had to fill 4 years. So another friend took me to the teacher training college. Then I start traveling, and India was just on the list of the countries to be visited because I thought I can learn more about yoga if I come to India. In Karachi, I was ill and I was nursed by the Franciscan priest, and they said, "What do you want to do in India?" I said, "I want to study yoga." I said, "Oh, one of our brothers is here, and that is the father of Akash, Ruud Lohman." I read his books in Karachi, and with that book in my mind, I finally came from Bangalore bus to Pondicherry. They dropped me on the 21st of May 1972 in a desert, and I was walking in bliss. I was coming home, I felt. And although I didn't stay that time, I stayed only for 4 months. I stayed with Ruud first.
They dropped you in Oroville or in Pondi in Ashram?
First they dropped me in Pondi, then I had next bus and they dropped me somewhere in Oroville. I think it was Tindivanam Road there, so where is Oro Orchard. Mm-hmm. And then I walked and I was very happy.
Quite some kilometers.
Yeah, and then I met somebody, I said, "Oh, I'm looking for Ruud Lohman." They said, "Oh, you will find a big hole. Probably will be at the bottom." And that was true. I found him there. That was Matri Mandir.
Oh, okay.
They just started with the foundation. Mm-hmm. And he was very much involved. He was very versatile, but he was mainly involved also with Matri Mandir. And he let me stay with him. That was camp that time, peace. And then Twan came and we shared a storeroom. Then later Narat, because I was very much hoping to help with Matri Mandir Gardens. In my heart, I'm a gardener. That's why we need water.
Water is life.
And he put me in the pump house, which is near the international zone. Yeah. And then I traveled on for 2 years. Then I came back in Holland and I wanted to come to Oroville. But my first wife didn't want really to come to Oroville, but we came in 75, 76 for some time. And then again, I was very enthusiastic about Oroville. So when I came back from that trip, I joined Oroville International Holland.
Mm, maybe.
And start supporting Oroville from that side.
There's always a different way how to participate, no?
Yeah, I was very much enthusiastic about tree planting, so I tried to raise funds for trees in Oroville. Meenakshi school was nice, and we had a nice interaction with my kids from my class, with Meenakshi's kids.
The Tamil kids?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. When I came in the 70s, and also what I could still do here when I finally came, was like pioneering.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in my heart also I'm a pioneer. I like that. But then, of course, when you need infrastructure, you get the bureaucratic stage. And the supramental stage is still far away, so we are stuck in that, which I don't like so much. But on the other hand, it is also a process of learning to work together and try to things done. And I think all the difficulties we encounter, if we take our sadhana serious, are obstacles, but also opportunities on the way to overcome them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Of course, if we get stuck in it, we don't grow, and we will get another obstacle and maybe another chance to grow from that. So, I know the evolution of humankind takes very long, and we are a very stubborn race.
Yeah, somehow. And not only that, comparing to animals, we are the only destructive creatures, and self-destructive.
Because we were made with the mind, and the mind is dualistic. It's not anymore intuition or instinct with the animals. They have the instinct and they live according to that, but we are a step further. That creates a lot of havoc.
Yeah. Apart from water conservation, also your passion is gardening, because you're garden in Gaya garden is actually really, really beautiful. Yeah.
I was very much impressed, as I said, by mother's idea of the gardens.
Mm.
So when I was still working in Mater Mundi nursery and later Mater Mundi gardens, I felt I have to learn more about the tropical plants. I had a Gaia's garden in Holland, so I knew the plants of Europe and Holland. Here, they were different. So it was actually an experiment in tropical gardening to see how they behaved, what you can do with them. And but I'm not so often in the books anymore, more in the garden. Like when it starts raining, and even if it's raining hard, I put on a kind of raincoat to protect yourself, though you get wet. But I start making cuttings and put them straight in the ground. Now, of course, you have to water them because there is the sun, but that's the easiest and the best way. We are in the tropics, especially with these rains. It explodes and it becomes too high, and you want to keep a certain order. I like a garden who smells a bit wild, but that makes actually more work, because all the time you have to prune and take out, which is great because you get wheelbarrows of biomass, which they again put under trees and plants. But then the important is to try to use as less water as possible. So that's why things are close together. It's mulched, you put it under, so you try to avoid the evaporation.
Do we need to add anything in the, let's say, in expectation of a northeast monsoon?
Well, let's hope we have a happy monsoon. Not too much cyclone activity, because it creates havoc. On top of it, each time you have a cyclone, it acts like a vacuum cleaner. All the clouds are sucked up and the bay is clean like now. It's moving north, and you have to wait for the next depression. I hope for an old-fashioned monsoon, which is steady and goes slow. It just hangs over and doesn't move, and it just pours down.
Okay, thank you so much.
Pleasure.